In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
We woke up in the morning, there's a siren, and of course, the closest place is the house of the lion, the lion's den. So I run like crazy, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like my worst nightmare.
What happened then?
He couldn't care less, and he just stayed outside and was very happy. And I had a story to tell my family in France, and to send selfies inside the lion's den without the lion, because they didn't come in. And it's a story. I think I'm going to tell it to my grandkids when they'll ask, oh my God, Granny, there was a war. What did you do?
Hey, listeners. It's Mishi. So, as you know, we continue to bring you wartime diaries, our attempt at collecting slivers of life during these dark, dark days. And today, we'll visit a place which is actually full of life. A place that is, under normal circumstances, one of the most visited sites in the entire country, Jerusalem's Biblical Zoo, or, in its official name, the Tisch Family Zoological Gardens. Since the start of the war, the city of Jerusalem has welcomed more than 30,000 evacuees from both the north and the south, and with such an influx of people, and especially such an influx of kids, there was a real need to create and offer programming and activities. The Jerusalem Foundation stepped in and launched something called Double Impact, an initiative that sent tens of thousands of evacuees, as well as the city's school children, to various cultural and leisure institutions, museums, theaters, the aquarium, and, of course, the zoo. The double impact part of it was because it not only benefited the kids, who got a day of fun and enrichment, but also the institutions themselves that were all, obviously, struggling. Now, the first animal in the Jerusalem Zoo arrived in 1940, brought by a group of British soldiers. It was a desert monitor, which, in case you're not up on your reptiles, is sort of a gray lizard. Since then, and even amid the drama of the 1948 War of Independence, the zoo has served as a home to a wide and growing variety of animals, and is truly one of the few places in town that is welcoming to every sector of society. Jews and Arabs, Israelis and Palestinians, secular and religious, young and old. It's also open every single day of the year, except for Yom Kippur, Yom HaShoah, and Yom HaZikaron. But that, as you might have guessed, changed on the morning of October 7th. For the next 18 days, the gates of the zoo were shut. Thanks in no small part to the Double Impact program, however, the zoo was able to reopen and has emerged as a source of solace and life here in Jerusalem. All of our producers wanted to go out on this assignment, but Mitch Ginsburg and Yael Ben-Hurin won out and got a private tour of the zoo.
My name is Maya German. I'm the marketing manager and customer experience manager of the Tisch Family Zoological Gardens in Jerusalem. I was born in Paris, but I made Aliyah when I was 3, and I have the best job in the world, I think.
What was it like at the very beginning of the war on October 7th?
So it was very challenging for the zoo. First of all, everything started just before we opened the gates. So we had to close the gates, we had to change everything on the website. And then we started getting all the messages of everyone leaving and going to defend the country. Mm. We had about 30 employees that left for Miluim. And we don't have thousands and thousands of employees here. We're a small place. And it was very, very challenging. And at the first week, the zoo was completely closed. It's so weird to be in a closed zoo. Everything is so quiet. We're not used to that. We're used to sounds, you see. We're used to sounds of kids, of people. And suddenly it's like Yom Kippur. The animals feel that there's no people walking around. And it's very weird.
And then pretty soon after that, you reopen?
Yeah. And then we started inviting in people that came to live in Jerusalem. And they had to leave their homes. And so we started to have small groups of people coming in from Sderot, from all the kibbutzim. And so we had the opportunity to give them a moment out of the hotel, out of the stress. And then we got a huge support from the Jerusalem Foundation. So now from November, we had over 12,000 children here at the zoo.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. We had some children who were held captive in Gaza and came back home, and they came to visit us at the zoo.
What was it like?
It was very, very, first of all, it was very moving to see someone that you saw on a poster just 2 weeks ago, and you were terrified for their lives, to be walking with them here in the park and to see that they're happy and they're joyful and they're alive and they're safe and they're okay. It was so, so moving. But it was also moving to see their reaction and the understanding that they're going to be, I hope so, okay. They're going to be okay. And we took them to see the giraffes a bit and to enjoy some special things.
There's the baby giraffes now, no?
Yeah, we have 3 baby giraffes. We have a baby boom at the giraffes, actually. They like to reproduce here.
Good on them.
Yeah, yeah. Way to go, giraffes. So we introduced some animals, some close encounters with turtles and a snake. What was amazing? That you have no idea what to expect. And then they're just kids.
The first few days were a bit tense, not between the workers, just outside coming from different locations in Jerusalem. But then inside the zoo, there's no politics in the zoo, no issues religion-wise. And it's like we're in a bubble. So my name is Benjamin Feinsod. I've been working here in the zoo since 99. When I was 12, I started as a volunteer and then started working here at the age of 14. And been ever since in the zoo. Currently, I'm in charge of the carnivores and the orangutans, and I also supervise the elephants and the primate sections here in the zoo.
Actually, our chief zoologist is on reserve duty. Our 2 head keepers, Binyamin here, was in reserve.
Yep, and I'm still in reserve duty.
What are you doing when you're not in the zoo and you're in reserve duty? Like, how sharp of a departure is it?
What do I do in the army? I'm in a war room, I think, Hamal. And I've got it relatively easy because I'm in Be'er Sheva compared to other people who were drafted into reserve duty.
Dealing with what sort of stuff?
All logistics and transportation of armored vehicles for all the units that were brought to the south, and then maintaining that throughout the last 3 months.
So it's a big transition from war room to zoo and back.
Yes,
again.
It's a big transition, but it's a position that I've been doing for the last few years. So, and unfortunately, every time there was like a tense situation, then they'd call us and say, come now. And then this time it just was different and longer and is still continuing. But recently I've had the option to come out for a day once a week or 2 days to come to the zoo. Also for me, psychologically, to come back to the zoo is nice. And also so that I can see that everything's going along. And at the beginning, it was a bit difficult with the staffing situation.
I want to show you the lemurs. Yes, it's the coolest exhibit.
Oh yeah, I love the
because
lemurs.
It's an open exhibit. And what's so cool about them that they're sitting on the tree and they're sunbathing.
Who are you the most excited to visit on a regular basis when you walk around the zoo?
Wow, it's like asking who's my favorite child.
I know, and I'm
it's impossible to choose.
So where are we now, Benjamin? Tell us.
We're in the small animal building, which is also considered a safe area, that's right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
This is the reason I didn't want to come here during the early days of the war, because of that massive python or whatever it is.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be around with the python.
I didn't want him getting out, like in Harry Potter.
So we're here by the golden lion tamarins, which are small monkeys that come from South America. And just before the war, we were about to send a tamarin to Tenerife in Spain. Now, sending an animal out of the country isn't that easy. It's month and month of all kinds of veterinary permits and all kinds of different permits in order to send an animal out. And he had a flight scheduled for exactly when the war started. And like everything in the country came to a standstill, then that also stopped. And then because the permit is for a specific date for the animal to fly, now we have to start all the permit process from the beginning. So unfortunately, we couldn't send the tamarin out. And sending animals out is important because they're all part of breeding programs.
Can you say hi to the orangutans?
You can say hi to the orangutans. I didn't see the orangutan.
Yeah, for days.
I love the orangutan exhibit, the new one.
He's their favorite person.
Oh, there they are.
Oh, they're huddling. Oh, that's the big male.
Vito! We have here two males and two females in the zoo.
And how did they do during the early days of the war or during any of the sirens that we've had?
They don't care too much about the sirens. Like many of our animals in the zoo, we teach them an emergency recall so that if we need anything, we can lock them in the house. We sound a bell or something, and then they run into the house and we can lock them. So we didn't actually do it in the sirens, because usually we weren't sitting waiting by the orangutans, because we'd go somewhere safe in a siren. But if suddenly a rocket falls or something like that, then we have the ability to try and lock them in and separate them in a safer location.
That's amazing. You taught them to recognize the bell as a sound of time to pack up our stuff and go inside?
Yeah, we do it with many of our animals in the zoo as a normal behavior that we train them to do for emergency situations. It's not something specifically that we did for the war, but we did it. We train them to come into the house when we need to if there's an emergency and just run into the house. So if, God forbid, anything would happen, then we have the ability to do that.
Like, what else would be considered an emergency? Like a fire or...?
A fire, a hole opening, a rocket falling, anything that we think would be an emergency, and then just lock them in. Somebody falling into the exhibit, in the orangutans it's closed so nobody can fall in, but in the lion exhibit, for example, if somebody climbs over and falls in, then maybe that might help separate the animal from somebody falling in.
They're not falling in.
They're not falling in. These are our langurs. We have here our dominant male, two females and two youngsters, which aren't that young. They're 2 years old. And then at the beginning of the war, Liz, our female, gave birth to a young female who we called Nova as part of...
commemoration.
Yeah.
He has good hair.
Yes.
Were you in touch with the zoo in Gaza at all?
No, there was the lion in Gaza because they know in the army that I work in the zoo, then we were talking about rescuing the lions from Gaza, and if the lion would be rescued or moved, then he'd move to a sanctuary in Jordan. He would be just passing through Israel to a sanctuary in Jordan.
I can tell you that there was a lot of activity. Also, people from our zoo that during the Miluim went into the Otef and went to rescue the animals. Every animal that needs help and we can do something will help. Here, the first thing are the animals and the welfare and the well-being of the animals. And after is everything else. And you can see that Everybody's happy here. You don't see crying people here. You don't see sadness. And every day I come in, even if it's like I get the most terrible news, I come here and I look at this beautiful place and everything slows down. And it's important to have this beacon of light.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.